Let's turn now to hymn number 51.
To the house of the Lord, and great to have our guest with us tonight. Thank you, Miss Joy, for helping us out in the music, and Lord's blessed us with some great musicians. I appreciate all the ones that use their talent for the honor and glory of the Lord. Someone was asking the other day who it was that's going to school with Trey and I, and Brother Matthew Griffith, right back there on the back row. So now you know. Now you know who he is. This morning we have the first ever in a long time morning service to a revival meeting here at Promised Land. Been a while. A lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, since we've had a morning revival service at Promised Land. It went really good. My hope was 30. We had 28. And I knew a lot of people worked and at work and whatnot. We have one more, so if you missed out on it, we were just doing this for a trial run. Worked out really good. Had really compact, intimate, just great service. Just the Holy Spirit just worked. The preaching was great. Even had a surprise quartet this morning, and that worked out really well. Again, I'm just thrilled. God has blessed us so much for a four-night revival. I think it's going awesome. We have tonight and one more night. Quickly, a lot of people have been asking about Brother Joel, the missionary to Belize, Brother Joel Dillahunty's wife, who had that just a sudden onset of illness Sunday afternoon, rushed her to the emergency room, and she was diagnosed this afternoon with colonitis, which is just, and it was really severe infection in the colon. And so please remember her as they seek treatment. It's going to be at least a couple more days in the hospital there at Ashley County, and so I don't know the exact game plan as far as taking care of this, but remember both of them in prayer. This time, I tell you what, I haven't been doing this the last two nights, but I'd like to tonight. I want to ask everyone to stand, and I'm sure there's somebody here you don't know, so go around and shake their hand right now. Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And I tell you what, I know you do. I know a lot of times in my life I say I love the Lord, but I pray that my actions would always reflect that. And I try, everybody, including the preacher, messes up, we fall short, and I pray that you would just, prayer requests before we move on to the next song, any prayer requests? Isn't it great to see Miss Francis tonight?
Amen.
And I went by to visit with her today. I hadn't realized she was still down, but I'm glad that she's feeling well enough to come tonight. And it's good to see Miss Foster, Brother Jimmy's mom, and just different ones that's gotten recovered and gotten better. Any other prayer requests or praise reports? If not, if you have an unspoken, let me know by lifting your hands. And just thank you for praying for each other. Pray for our seminary and our seminary teachers where I teach. They're in Benton. Got an email today, a list of students, and there's been several more registrations, and we had already set a record of about 58, and now it's up to 63. And so, hey, praise the Lord, and God just keeps blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, just thank you so much for each and every one here. Thank you for the ones I know that have had a busy day, just different things going on. Just come out for a little while tonight to hear some good singing and some preaching from your word. I pray that you'll just bless Brother Adrian, and thank you for the awesome messages that he has brought to us. Father, I pray that you'll just anoint him with your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us your word tonight. Father, please be with all these prayer requests. You know everyone's heart, everyone's need, those that are recovering and those that are facing some tough surgeries. Bless them. Watch over them. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we ask. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymn book now to hymn number 64. First and last time to hymn number 64.
Thank you.
believe Miss Sandra Jo has a special for us at this time.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
It's good to have Joy back in our services this afternoon and all, and she's going to bring us a special this time.
I always enjoy coming back here and getting to play with your musicians and participate in your worship, and I never get to bring a special because I know that you have a waiting list like a mile long. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to play tonight. And since I have no words, you need words. We're going to do number 61 in... What book is that? Oh. Okay, never mind. It's How Great Thou Art. That's what we're doing. Thank you.
Just come back anytime and we'll work you in, okay? But this time, Miss Barbara is going to bring us a special.
And I wasn't going to cry tonight. I had it all planned, y'all. That was wonderful. I was thinking, I'm just going to have to get off the special list. All I do is bawl. Anyway, I'll let Joy have my spot. I was thinking when Allie was singing, ooh, what is it about preachers' kids and singing? I don't know. But my dad, I don't remember not singing. I don't ever remember not singing. When we had company, we had to sing a special. I'm not lying. I am not lying. I would not say that in the church if it were not true. Daddy thought we had to perform, and we did. Scared to death, especially A.T. Powers. Yeah, you remember his hands were as big as my head. He was a huge man. And my daddy looks down at me and says, Barbara, what you going to sing today? I don't know. Yeah. But you know, through life, oh, I praise God for that. I praise God for these Promised Land kids that get up here. I tell you what, you can tell it in the schools when you need somebody to stand up. Our Promised Land kids are there. Dana, you just might have to help me. I picked an old one. We've been having technology training all day. And this presenter said, we are teaching 40 years behind what our kids know, which is true. And part of it is because I don't have technology in my room, a lot of it. But a lot of it, I have no clue how to run it. But I went through that all day long, and that thought just kept going through my mind. And what am I singing to tonight? A cassette tape. It's not a CD, I admit. And I picked the old one on purpose. So if I start squalling, y'all can just all sing along with me because y'all have heard me do it 1,000 times. The anchor holds.
I have journeyed through the long dark night. Open sea, by faith alone, I don't know, and yet his eyes were what? Anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas, and the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had vision and I've had dreams. I've even held thee in my hand. they would slip right through, like they were only grains of sand. And the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, and the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, oh, that's when he proved his love for me. The raging sea and the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Amen. You just keep playing that cassette tape. That is a powerful song. And thank the Lord Jesus Christ that the anchor still holds. Even when we're battered and torn, it is only by His grace. And I thank the Lord for His grace. And Brother Adrian has shared with us wonderfully God's precious word, which we need. There may be somebody here, if it's just one person here tonight that needs these messages in song and this message from God's word. If there's just one person here tonight that needs this, it's all worth it. I'm sure there's more than one, but it's all worth it if just one of us has revival. I pray that more would. But after this next special in song, Brother Adrian Neal from Huntington, Texas, come present God's word to you. God bless you, Brother Adrian.
Amen. This time, Miss Tina is going to bring a special.
Hope we never get so hardened that when it comes from our hearts, we can't see emotion. know that anchor, he's still saving, and he's mighty to do that.
Service. I've been truly blessed by the congregationals, by the specials, and I certainly appreciate everyone who's been singing tonight to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Each of those specials particularly touched me in a special way. Jesus is mighty to save. And on the anchor holds, you know, one of the oldest symbols of Christianity. Some people think the cross is, but actually it came about in the 4th or 5th century. In the catacombs of Rome, underneath the city of Rome, there are inscriptions upon the walls there underneath the city. And one of the, if not the, oldest Christian symbol is the anchor. It's the anchor. I appreciate all the songs very much. And I appreciate all of you, your hospitality, your friendship. It is just a pleasure and a blessing to be here and to share in this service with you tonight. If you have a Bible, let's look in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And I forgive the sister for mentioning that school's about to begin. I'll be there Friday doing an in-service and then starting this coming Monday. Let's pray for our students that they have a wonderful year and a wonderful year in the Lord for our community. I'm sure Hamburg is like many other communities. There are so many positives, yet there are negatives that are there that our children need to be aware of. And they need our prayers, not just when school begins, but throughout the year. I heard of a preacher that preached a message one time, and I didn't hear it, but I heard it was one of the more powerful messages that the people who heard it had ever heard. And it was called The Devil Bids for Your Child. And there's a lot of truth in that. So our children do need prayers. And I'll be teaching Texas history. I know you have high regard for Texas and Texans after calling a pastor from Texas. And I fought the Battle of the Alamo. I counted up one time over 80 times in my teaching career. And one of these days, we're going to win that battle. I think it's going to be the year that I retire. When I retire that year, I'm going to teach that we won that battle at the Alamo, and those kids will be messed up for the rest of their lives, probably. So that will be fun. Tonight, I want to introduce you to a word and emphasize this word, and it's one of the most horrible words in the Bible. This text that we have, Acts chapter 26, is a classic text, most likely familiar to any of you who are seasoned church members. And though the intensity of the text may fall upon lost souls, there is a heavy hammer, I believe, that may fall upon Christian hearts with our relation to this single word and its theme. The Apostle Paul here in Acts 26, he has served the Lord for years. He has preached in hostile environments. He has organized churches. He has written letters or epistles under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And when the Apostle Paul preached, one of two things happened. Either a revival or a riot. One of the two. Due to this, the Apostle Paul has been charged. He's been imprisoned. He's been brought before Roman authorities to give an account of his actions and his preaching. Now, to you Bible scholars, I know this is a very brief summary for this chapter. In our text, though, we'll have a dangerous word, and I pray we see it tonight as never before. Let's look in Acts 26, and let's pick up and read the first three verses there to begin. In Acts 26 and verse 1, it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Now in the middle passages here in this chapter, Paul acknowledges his Jewish lineage. He admits to punishing or persecuting Christian people, and he also reveals his experiences on the Damascus Road. Now let's pick it up in verse 22. He says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Well, at this, the Apostle Paul, of course, is accused of madness. And let's pick it up in verse 27 and 28. Verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There is the word of danger tonight, the word almost. If I had to give a title to tonight's message, it would be Almost Doesn't Count. Almost doesn't count. This king who almost became a Christian was Herod Agrippa II. He was the grandson of Herod Antipas, who had killed John the Baptist and who had also mocked Jesus Christ prior to the crucifixion. This king that Paul is speaking to, he is the great-grandson of Herod the Great, which was responsible for the slaughter of the innocents in Bethlehem. Now, this is quite a family tree. Bernice was living with Agrippa as his wife, but was also his sister. So imagine this pair that the Apostle Paul is speaking to. Imagine the foolishness of preaching to them when creation itself even testifies to the glory and the grace of God. Imagine him speaking to them, though, with some common ground that this king is familiar with the Jews and with Jewry here in the land. Now, Agrippa was familiar with religion, and again, Paul noted that, but Agrippa just would not take that step. He wouldn't cross the eternal line. He conjured up maybe excuses in his heart to the point that he said, you know, this is all very appealing and I understand what you're saying. Hey, he could even maybe relate to some of the Jewish prophecies that he had heard about with regards to a Messiah or a Savior. And he said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, what caused Paul to be accused of madness? Well, he talked about someone rising from the dead. And if you think that someone rises from the dead or arose from the dead, then you could be prone to being accused of being mad. But I tell you, Jesus proved that he has authority over death. He proved that during his personal ministry. And of course, he ultimately proved it when he conquered the grave arising. Paul here is preaching to a man who has that common ground, who maybe can relate to some of the things that are being said to the point that he is touched in his heart, yet he would not cross the eternal line. He said, almost, you persuade me to be a Christian. Folks, almost is a dreaded word. I tell you this, almost does not count. Now, as a child of God tonight, you may be thinking, well, this message is for the maybe someone here is unsaved, so I'm just going to check out mentally and I'll flip through my Bible or I'll think back to times past where I've heard a message about almost, you persuaded me to be a Christian. You know, there are almost as well in Christian lives, and we'll get to that in just a moment, the Lord leading. Now, some almost in life really don't amount to a hill of beans. They matter at the time, and I'll give you an example. Back in the early 1990s, you folks seem to like deer hunting illustrations, so let's go with another. Back in the early 90s, I took a shot at one of the biggest bucks that I had ever seen. I said I took a shot at it. I'm watching a clearing about 20 yards wide, and I hear dogs barking up on a hill. Now, hunting with dogs is illegal in Texas and has been for some time, but these dogs were just running deer, and I could hear the deer breathing before it crossed the opening. I could hear the whoo, 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 and I could hear the dogs coming behind, and I steadied myself. I said, well, this is going to be a shot right here. This will be a lucky shot, okay? So I get ready, and when the big buck crossed the clearing, I shot, and I knew immediately that I'd missed that deer. So what did I do? I get down out of my stand. I violated the 10 or 15 minute rule that you're supposed to sit there and wait. I go down to where the deer crossed, and I'm looking, and I don't see any blood, no hair. I go out into a little clearing, and I look over here for anything. I come back, I look, and there's the big buck standing 10 yards from my stand looking at me. Now, this time when I raise my gun, he's gone. Folks, that was an almost that at that point almost drove me mad. I just missed the biggest buck of my life. But you know, I look back now and it's just a story. It's just one of those almost that maybe you've seen the movie Hoosiers where Dennis Hopper is a drunk because he missed one shot at a state championship game. Remember the line in the movie, let her fly. In and out. In and out. Folks, there are almost that matter, and there are almost that do not matter. With regards to your soul, however, with regards to your eternity, with regards to your Christian walk and your membership in a local New Testament church, with regards to your Bible study, with regards to your prayer life, all of these things matter. There is so much in the world that does not matter. You know what? You could almost go on a diet and not do it and it wouldn't really matter, friend. But if you almost become a Christian, that matters. Because almost does not count. You're either totally saved or you're totally lost. I repeat, you're either totally saved or you're totally lost. Folks, in our text, the problem is not with the messenger. The Apostle Paul here is preaching. He's preaching Jesus crucified. He's preaching Jesus resurrected. The message was powerful. It was passionate. It was persuasive. But Paul could not save this man. And when your pastor preaches on Sundays or when an evangelist comes and preaches to people, they cannot save. He cannot save. Folks, the preaching of the cross, though, is of them that perish foolishness, but under us which are saved, it is the power of God. So there is power there that accompanies the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power is not so much in the appearances, the power is in the Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friends, if you're saved here tonight, it's not an almost salvation. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you, and not only shed for you, but applied by you to your heart, and you exercise faith in doing that. I ask you tonight a simple question. Are you saved? Are you saved? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or nod your head, or you can amen if you would like. But are you saved tonight? Say, Brother Neil, we hear salvation messages quite frequently, and you hit that pretty hard last night with Joseph, a portrait of Christ. You know what? I'm going to give an account as a minister of the gospel for every word I say in the preaching of His Word. And if there's a lost person here tonight, I pray that you understand that salvation is available to you through Jesus Christ, that in repentance and faith, you can be totally saved tonight. You know, this same apostle, the Apostle Paul, he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed in Him against that day. And that's what Agrippa would not do. He would not commit. I do not know for sure what held him back. Maybe it was his position. Maybe it was some question in his mind or in his heart. But he did not commit to Jesus Christ. And friends, if you don't commit, if you don't fall at the feet of Jesus, if you don't humble yourself before Him and realize that you're helpless and you're hopeless without the Lord, then friends, it'll be an almost for you. It takes total dependence. Total faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? When I was saved, and I shared with you either last night or the night before about when I was saved and a few of the circumstances, but as I was about to be saved, my experience was that I felt totally helpless. I felt unworthy. I felt undone. I felt totally inadequate to do anything to secure my salvation. And you know what, friends? When you reach that point, you realize that your only help is from the Lord. The Lord is my helper. You know, and after that, things change. The sister that played the flute or clarinet, that played the instrument. That's a safe word. She used her breath to praise the Lord. You know what the psalm says? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Unfortunately, Agrippa never reached that point. Unless something happened that we don't know about, King Agrippa is in hell right now. Right now. You know what? Hell is fact. Hell is flames, and hell is final. I pray that at some point in his life he trusted the Lord. Don't you? Don't you? I mean, even the most evil of people, you hope that at some point in their life that they trust Christ as their personal Savior, but many people do not, and their destiny is hell. You know, Jesus referred to hell, Gehenna, 11 out of 12 times, I believe, if I remember reading correctly, that he referred to the literal fires of hell. And near Jerusalem there is the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was an area that was Jerusalem's garbage dump. I mean, in that valley would be the corpses of dead people who weren't recognized, or maybe no one knew who they were. There would be dead animals that were there. There would be filth and decay and hungry dogs gnawing at the garbage and everything that was in that valley. And they would light fires and try to burn this garbage and all these remains. And according to history, the stench was just unbearable. And when Jesus referred to Gehenna or hell in reference to the Valley of Hinnom, basically Jesus is saying, see what hell is like. That's just the picture, but see the reality tonight of what hell is. And who is hell reserved for? For those who have the audacity to say, I don't need Jesus Christ. Almost I'll be a Christian. Oh yeah, church is a good thing. God's people are good people. Bible's a good book, and I need to do good in life. But all of those, friends, are almost. They're almost. Expression you may have heard before. Walking into a garage doesn't make you a car. Just like walking into a church house doesn't make you a Christian. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And according to Scripture, this king missed it. He missed it. King Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost means nearly. Or little short of. Little did King Agrippa realize the magnitude, the eternal magnitude of that moment. Little did he know that he stood upon the brink of eternity as he is being spoken to, preached to by the Apostle Paul. You know, people are visited by the Lord. Jesus even wept as he topped the hill. I believe it's in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. He beheld the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it. And sister, you've seen the tears, the church that's shaped like a tear, and you've seen the thorns that are growing in front of that, and the thorns are 4 to 5 inches long, and that's the only native thorn tree there in Israel, that crown was put on the head of Jesus Christ. And he knew that that was his destiny. He knew that he would fulfill his Father's will. And as he topped the hill into Jerusalem, it says he beheld the city and he wept over it. Why? Because Jesus was full of compassion. He was full of love. And his desire was that every individual be saved. How can you know that, Brother Neil? I know that because on the cross at Calvary, with nails in his hands, with a body that was beaten, with a visage that was marred, with being mocked and ridiculed and scorned, Jesus Christ himself prayed for the soul and the sins of those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, yeah, Brother Neil, they crucified Jesus. Well, we crucified Jesus. Our sins put Christ on the cross. Maybe he's praying for us. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Almost. I wonder about the centurion there standing at the cross. I wonder if he was an almost. Remember the earthquake and the darkness? The soldier looks up and says, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, it's possible to believe that there was a Jesus and die and go to hell. The Muslims believe that. They believe that there was a Jesus. Kind of like an average American may celebrate Christmas and think it's about Jesus. Or Easter. Yet there's never a belief in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful tonight that the Spirit of God deals with man and convicts us? And when we're lost, we realize that it's not us seeking God, but it's God seeking us and drawing us to Him with cords of love. And then that almost becomes a totally. King Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. You know what? Almost does not count. Almost does not count. You know, I mentioned hell and what a place that is. Let's contrast it with heaven for just a moment. You were an almost, and then you became saved by the grace of God. His mercy, His pardon, you availed yourself of, and Jesus became, He was your Savior. You ask Him into your heart, and your citizenship is recorded in heaven. So there's the contrast. There's the division. John 7:43 says, so then there was a great division among the people because of Him. And that's what divides humanity. That's what divides this congregation tonight. You may think, well, I'm on the right-hand side, if that's the right-hand side. I'm in the middle, or I'm on this side. No. This congregation is divided based upon Jesus Christ. Even families are divided based upon Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus' words about the family of five, that there'd be three against two, or two against three, or the mother against the mother-in-law, that the division exists because of Jesus. So on one side of that division is hell, a place that burns with fire tonight. And on the other side of that division is heaven, a place where those of you who have trusted Christ as your Savior, that you have your citizenship recorded in, and that you are waiting to go. And so many of the songs that we sing about tonight, where the soul of man never dies, or I feel like traveling on, or last night I'll fly away, all of those songs refer to your future and your hope that is settled in God's heaven. It's not a wishy-washy place. It's not an almost place. It's not an almost, well, I hope I get there place. No, it's a done deal if Jesus is in your heart. Folks, we may get tired worshiping in services like this. We may say, well, it's getting a little late, or we sang a few too many songs, or the preacher preached just a little too long. You know what? In heaven, you will not be hindered by this old khaki call we call the flesh. We'll be in the Spirit, friend. We'll have a body that God gives us, and we will worship for eons, and we will not get tired because the flesh won't hinder what we're doing. And we'll look there and we'll see our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll fall at His feet probably. And He'll come and He'll embrace us and pick us up. And the Scripture says He will even allow us to sit in His throne. Do you have that promise tonight? Do you have that guarantee? Because the Bible that we read and that we study and that you mark up, I like to see that Bible is marked up. The Bible that we study guarantees salvation to a true believer in Jesus Christ. No almost, no ifs, ands, or buts, but a guarantee. Blessed are the undefiled, who've received that inheritance. They've received that inheritance that's undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you. If you don't have that tonight, maybe you're in the almost category. You say, well, I'd like to be a Christian. I'm really thinking strongly about that. Agrippa was doing the same thing. The same thing. Christian tonight, now we're sitting here, we're wondering, well, I wonder if anyone will be saved tonight. I wonder if they're listening. What about our almost? What about when I almost witnessed to a lost soul? What about when I almost gave that word of encouragement or comfort? What about when I almost gave my first fruits, but I ended up just giving my leftovers? What if Jesus tonight, what if He had almost gone to the cross? Where would you be tonight? Where would I be? Where would my children be? What if Jesus had almost conquered the grave? Folks, if the Spirit that dwells in us, that dwelled in Jesus, dwells in us, the Scripture says that same Spirit will raise us up again at that day. So we have the sure promise of the Spirit of God to believers, and that Spirit will not only comfort and reprove and guide and convict, but that Spirit will also raise us up. But what if Jesus had just almost conquered death? Where would we be tonight? He's not a God of almost. God is God. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's convicting. And if He's drawing you tonight to trust Him, how could you almost trust Jesus? You know what? This is not a scare tactic tonight. It's just a fact. Life is too fragile to live and an almost. I watched a lady just 2 days ago greet me, shake my hand, and I'm glad to know that shaking her hand had nothing to do with her getting ill. And Sister Karen is probably glad to know that nothing that she cooked or did in the house caused Sister Dillahunty to get sick. But folks, that's an example, and you know this. Many of you know what I'm about to tell you. Maybe it's happened to you before, that in a matter of seconds, things can happen in your body and in your life that can create a huge question mark, if not a dilemma. And I say that in order to say this, that life is uncertain. God is certain. We trust in Him. But our time here on this earth and the fragility of our bodies is an uncertainty that we deal with every second. You say, Brother Neil, I don't want to deal with that. I just want to have a good time and go through life. Friends, we must reckon with the fact that we're not guaranteed another day on this earth. We're not guaranteed another breath. You've heard it from preachers probably all of your life, but it's true, folks. We are mortal. But aren't you glad tonight that in Jesus Christ that you have immortality and you have an assurance of heaven? Without that, you're in the river almost, and Niagara Falls is waiting for you, friends. And woe unto those who would reject Jesus Christ. And basically look at God and say, you know what? I don't need your son. He died for me. He shed his blood. He came to earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us and all of this. I know. And Agrippa may have understood some of these things. But in the end, what did the king say? Almost means no. Almost doesn't count. If Jesus were to return tonight, or you were to die, where would you spend eternity? Those of you that are saved, you can rejoice in your hearts and say, I know who my Savior is, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I know where my citizenship is. But the lost person, the person who's in the boat of almost, where would you spend eternity? That's a simple question, and I leave it with you. Could you imagine a, just for illustration, a woman or a man almost rescued but dying in a burning house? Or a person whose parachute almost opened? What would that mean to that person? It would mean certain death. I've often wondered why those parachute jumpers wear those little bitty helmets. I just don't know that that would help if the parachute doesn't open. I've used to wonder, and you'll know the sickness of my mind probably, the kamikaze pilots in World War II. Why'd they wear helmets? I don't know. But folks, almost is not the place to be. It's not the place to be. And I can preach with certainty tonight that God doesn't want you in the boat of almost. He wants you to be translated, as the Scripture says, into the kingdom of His dear Son, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And children of God, after we're saved, it does good to examine every once in a while, what about the almost in my life? Almost sung a special. Almost went and visited someone. Almost volunteered to teach the class. I almost went up to the altar to pray. I really thought about and almost went to speak to my pastor because I really wanted to speak to him for a while about this, this, or this. The Lord is your shepherd, but this is your under-shepherd. I can tell you with certainty, He loves you. He cares for you. He'll listen to you, and He'll pray for you. Or you could stay in the boat of almost. Almost doesn't count. It doesn't count. And when we're led by God to do whatever it is that we know we need to do, to get out of the almost arena, if you will, the Scripture says clearly that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. It may be that His Spirit is striving with you tonight. He's dealing with you either to be saved or to rededicate your life or maybe to just examine your life and and see what paths of service there might be for you, and you're going to ask Him to help you with that. But He says it clearly, my spirit will not always strive with man. It's dangerous business to keep rejecting the Spirit of God. As a Christian, it's dangerous because the whipping comes next, doesn't it? Aren't you glad that God just won't cast us off? He won't cast off His seed, but He will visit their iniquities with many stripes. And I've felt it before. Have you? At times, it's just been in my heart that nothing physical happened, but the Lord dealt with me to the point that I realized, let me just put it plain, that I'm a sorry sinner. A sorry sinner saved by the grace of God. That striving might be happening with you tonight. I don't know. But if God's visiting you, if He's dealing with your heart in any way, especially with regards to salvation, can you leave those doors tonight without Jesus, knowing that you are in the same position as King Agrippa, in the position and the status of almost? It doesn't count. Make it right tonight. Let's stand and let's have an invitation. And would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, I just pray that as Your Spirit searches the hearts here at Promised Land, I just pray that we'd be humble before You. If there's anyone here tonight, Father, who is unsaved, no matter what their age, Father, if they sense the conviction of Your Spirit, I just pray that they would trust Jesus before it's eternally too late. I pray they realize that their soul, their lives are in jeopardy, and that the only safe haven, the only refuge, is in Your arms. Give them the courage, Father, to make whatever decision it is they need to make. We know that You still call young men to the ministry. If there's anyone here tonight dealing with that, Father, I pray that You would lead and guide, and I pray that we as Your people would be humble and receptive to whatever You have for us here in this life. And may You be honored in the rest of this service and in the rest of our lives. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Michael.